Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Adisk. I'm here at Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. This is today's program, of course, is for Thursday, second day of May, year of our Lord, 2013. Our guest today will be Wendy Wilson, Master Herbalist from Apothecary Herbs Shop. You can locate her at thepowerherbs.com. Wendy will join us shortly. First, let's do some market reports, and then we will get to Wendy Wilson. Gold is up $9.10 today, $1,468.20 per ounce. Silver's up 17 cents to $23.92. Platinum is up $22 to $1,505 an ounce. Palladium is up $6 to $698 an ounce. Good day for the metals. Dow Jones is up 117 points to 14,818. NASDAQ is up 40 points to 3,339. New York Stock Exchange is up 72 points to 9,247. U.S. Dollar Index is up 0.58 to 82.21. And crude oil is up almost $3 to $94.01 per barrel. Yesterday, if I recall correctly, virtually everything was in the red. Today, almost everything is in the green. I don't know. Is there a message? Is there a lesson other than it goes up, it goes down, it goes up and down, and sometimes it even goes sideways? Wendy Wilson is our guest today. Wendy, are you there?
I'm here, Al. How you doing?
Just fine. How are you? Oh, incidentally, let me make a comment here. Melody is busy packing. She's had so many orders, she's a little behind on shipping. She's getting everything. She's working on shipping today, packing orders for those of you who ordered coins, and she will be back with me tomorrow. Today we have Wendy Wilson for the first third of the program. What up, Wendy?
Well, there's lots of stuff that's up. We've got, you know, socialistic medicine coming down the pike, and they surveyed some Canadian nurses, Al, like 4,500 of the RNs across Canada, answered a survey that was sent out to 257 hospitals there. They were asking them how they like their hospital jobs, you know, and they asked them some, you know, particular things like, staffing, availability of, products and sources, you know, all those things that make quality of care at a hospital important, you know? And guess what they said? A shocking 24% answered the survey and said, you know what, I wouldn't recommend the hospital I work at to family, friends, or loved ones.
Yeah.
And 60% of the nurses said that their problems are there's not enough staff. They're on skeleton crews all the time. And, you know, it's not because there's a shortage of nurses in Canada. There's nurses that can't get jobs because of there's no government money to pay them.
I understand.
That's where we're going. That's where we're going here in America.
Absolutely. We're going to have the same thing under Obamacare. I've seen, just as a parallel, I've seen where a large number of teachers insist on having their children educated in private schools for the same, for basically the same reason you're talking about. The government's in it. The government's managing public schools, and teachers are like, yeah, I'll work there, but I wouldn't let my kids go there.
Yeah, my neighbor taught at our local high school for 1 year, and then she went to a private school. She teaches language there. She said the public schools are horrendous. And she says she couldn't teach. It was the kids didn't want to sit down and listen. They took advantage, and my oldest boy is graduating from the public schools. I used to homeschool, and then I get divorced, and all of a sudden that's not cool. And so I'm court ordered to put the kids in the public school system, I call it. And he says my youngest is graduating. He says, our Spanish teacher hit the road in the middle of the term, and we've had a substitute, doesn't speak Spanish, doesn't know how to teach it. I said, well, what are you doing there? And he goes, nothing. So how are you going to pass the final for the state exam to graduate? He goes, don't know. They don't care over there.
No, I understand. It's basically a question of once the government gets involved, the primary business is filling out forms and submitting reports and trying to walk the lines that government is constantly moving, manipulating, and so on. You know, where there was a time, and when I went to school as a young, it's been some time since I've been in a public school, but when I was there, in retrospect, I think the teachers did the job because they really cared about it. I think they really were trying to give us a good education to the limit of their ability. I won't say it was perfect, but I think they were trying. There wasn't anything to inhibit them.
Right.
You might not get a good education. I won't say you always got one, but there wasn't anything official there to get in their way. If a teacher wanted to teach, it was possible to do so. Today, I'm not sure it's even possible.
Well, I know. Well, when I was homeschooling my kids, when they were in, elementary and middle school, we had a good system in North Carolina where I was at. They had a good homeschool network. They even had an annual book fair up in Winston-Salem, so you could go and come together and see what the new resources were. They were just coming out back then with online tutors for your high school kids. If chemistry was beyond mom and dad, there was online tutoring and all kinds of neat stuff. So it was a great setup. And I learned because you'd get the state requirements, what the state was asking. This went out to your public schools. And I thought to myself, everything that the teacher is supposed to cover in a school year, I said, that thing is too ambitious. That thing, these kids aren't going to learn basic stuff. And so I did ask a teacher once at a soccer game. I said, she was teacher at our local schools. I said, how do you manage all that curriculum requirement? I looked at it, and I said, that's impossible. And she goes, she shook her head. She says, well, we throw it out there. We have to hit the ground running, and we kind of skim the surface, and we throw it out there, and we just pray the kids grab it. I said, That's no way to teach.
You're teaching to the government, essentially. Some people say you teach to the book, you teach to the test. What they're teaching is to the government, essentially. And by government imposing rules, you got to teach this, 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 this. You're exactly right. With all of the extraneous stuff they have to teach, they will not learn the basics. And if they don't learn the basics, they will be deprived of one of the most important assets you can have in this world right now, and that's the ability to educate yourself.
Right.
If you can't read, write, and do mathematics, how are you going to educate yourself? And you have to, because technology and everything else is moving so fast, you have to be able to educate yourself. If you can't do that, there's no way you're going to keep up.
Well, here's an interesting thing. You might find this interesting. My ex-husband is an engineer, a Clemson graduate, and he was taught in Clemson. They did both, but you know, back in the 80s, they were using a lot of those slide rules. Engineers used those slide rules to do their calculations.
Yep.
Later, they moved into computer programs and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. his generation of engineers can do a calculation a mile long in their head, and it's correct. Okay, so it's interesting because when he would get, you know, students from, you know, the graduating class of the colleges around here, they'd come for the day at Duke Energy where he works, and he was shocked. These kids didn't know what a slide rule was.
Yep.
And so he asked them how they do their calculations, and they do it all on the computer, and he goes, based on what? And he goes, well, the program. We just plug in the numbers, and the program does it. He goes, well, what if whoever set up that program was wrong, then everything that you get out of it is wrong. How are you going to test to see if your numbers support, you know, your thermodynamics? And he went down the list, and they just sat there looking at each other like, well, we never thought of that.
Well, it's not just where they never thought of it. They weren't educated to think of it. One of the big problems is they're not really teaching children to think. They're mm-hmm. teaching to the test. They're teaching to the government, essentially. They're not really teaching children to think, in my opinion, not to the extent that they once did. Result is, what are they going to do when they find a problem that wasn't in the test?
Oh, I know. They're really suppressed not to ask questions, too. I mean, there yeah. are some good teachers. There are some good teachers out there, and I've met a few of them. They're so dedicated, and even against all the odds, they're doing a great job.
But
because of the curriculum requirements and the time restraints and all this and that, they really don't have time to open up the classroom for a round session.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and things like that. So kids get to the point where they just don't ask questions. And if you don't ask questions, you're not going to learn.
Oh, I understand. And they'll just tune out. They know they're not being educated. I mean, what's the point of going to school if you're not going to be educated? And I have little doubt that the kids understand that they're just putting in their time.
Right.
They're not really coming out of there with as much education. You know, I published an article back. Oh, around 1995, and I remember a magazine I was publishing at the time, and we had a copy of a final exam for eighth grade coming out of Nebraska from about 1900.
Mm-hmm.
All right? A century ago.
Okay, I know where this is going.
This was for eighth graders, and I guarantee you that most of today's college graduates could not have passed that exam.
Right.
And the point was, the exam illustrated how open the children's minds really are. Now, it may be that you got to do reading, writing, and arithmetic taught to the tune of the hickory stick and don't put up with their crap,
mm-hmm.
all right? But regardless, these kids are capable of learning at a spectacular amount of knowledge, understanding. They can grab it at an early age, and they're not getting it.
No, they're not.
I mean, it's not even close.
And it's all about, you know, how many bodies are in the seats. That's all the school system seems to care about, their budget. And you know, and I bet you on that exam you were mentioning, I bet you it wasn't on which coast is the Pacific Ocean. Because, you know, there's kids now coming out of high school, they don't even know where the Pacific Ocean is.
I'm telling you, it was embarrassing to me. The truth of the matter is, I'm not sure I could pass that exam. Now, of course, that was back about 15 years ago. I'm sure I could pass it today, Wendy. But back then, you know. In fact, I don't even know if I could pass it today, but I guarantee you it was spectacular, just hard to imagine. Questions on mathematics and geography, and it was complex, and I guarantee the people who had an eighth grade education from Nebraska back then, you graduate, you were intelligent and knowledgeable and able to go into business at the end of eighth grade. And
right.
today that sounds like a silly idea, but the truth is a lot of people started. They were running their own. They got married at a relatively early age.
Yeah.
They had families. They began to run a little farm or a ranch or maybe even a little store. They were mentally equipped, many of them. I don't mean everyone had that level of education, of course. Some people can't get it no matter how you teach them. But one of the things that I touched on, at least briefly, was the idea that there was a time, and not so long ago, when teachers were allowed to discipline children in a physical way. And as a result, you either learned or you got thrown out of class.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't happening today.
I know, and the kids have too many distractions. There's too many sensory distractions, Al. When I used to work in intensive care, mm-hmm. we only had 13 beds in the unit, but there's all these buzzers and all these monitors, and mm-hmm. there's always constant noise.
So Labor-saving devices.
Absolutely. But your brain has to do something there so it doesn't overwhelm you, because the first 2 weeks you work in a unit like that, you go home totally exhausted because your brain is trying to figure out what stimuli is most important that I should pay attention to right now and what I shouldn't. And these kids have so much technology and so much stimulus that they're totally shutting off, I think, the wrong stimuli.
I think it has to be. As a matter of self-defense, you have to learn what to tune out. And now
right.
what happens to all these devices that are supposed to be providing? You've got so many devices sounding warnings, alarms, and giving you information that you're tuning out, and the net result is you're getting less information than you might without the devices.
I know.
I went to a Rice football game back a couple of years ago with a friend of mine, and we went, halftime, whenever, we went down to buy some... you get some pretzels and soft drinks and whatever. All of the products they had to sell at this as a college football game, all of the products were priced in either $1, $2, $3.
No change. I can't do
this. They had a woman behind the counter. A woman behind the counter. I ordered a bottle of water for $1. I think I got one of the pretzels for $2. I don't know if I got a hamburger for $3. But in any case, she had to use a calculator. This was a college student, and she had to use a calculator to add ones, twos, and threes.
That's crazy.
It was astonishing. One last comment we'll get off on a little bit before we run out of time. Mm. Talked about there was a point in time, and not long ago, certainly was there when I was a kid, when teachers had the right the power, whatever, to physically discipline children. You got out of line, you might get smacked. Right?
Yeah, the ruler. The ruler. You get the
yes,
ruler
sir.
Across the hand. Bam!
Yes. What do we have as a substitute for that today? Ritalin.
Time out. I think time
Ritalin.
Out.
Ritalin. The teachers can't discipline anymore. As a result, what do? We drug the kids that tend to act up.
Well, you're right about that.
The Ritalin.
Yeah, the timeout doesn't work.
No. Mm-mm. I understand. We're just going to put them there. We're going to send them off to school, put them in a coma until they turn 18, and then Obama, he can count them or not count them on the unemployment rolls. If they have brains enough to look for a job, he has to count them as unemployed. If they don't have brains enough to look for a job, then he can delete them. Say they're not looking for a job, so they're not unemployed. The world has gone mad and is perhaps getting more mad, at least in places. I'm going to talk a little more about that when I come back here after the break, but we've got about 45 seconds left. Why don't you tell folks where they can locate you and thepowerherbs.com and Apothecary Herb Shop and so on, Wendy?
Sure. The official website for Apothecary Herbs is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, or they can call toll-free, get a free product catalog, order through the mail, and that number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, and that is a 24/7 number. So, after 5 o'clock, you won't get me, of course, but you will get our call center where you can order online or on the phone. So it's always open here at Apothecary Herbs, Al.
All right. Give us a URL one more time.
thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless.
All right, Wendy, thanks very much. We will talk to you again next Thursday. Wendy Wilson, folks,
thank you.
Thank you. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercial announcements. I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk. I'm here at Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. I have an article I want to talk about right now that really is extraordinary. The implications are important. They're encouraging. It's good news. It's the sort of thing I look back and I think, oh, my gosh, this is great. Written an article about it, just a brief article, but it's on my blog. I don't mention my blog very often, but if you'd like to visit, it's at Addisk, A-D-A-S-K, .wordpress.com. And I'll give that to you again when I get done talking about this. A poll has been released just in the last day or two that indicates that 29% of registered voters believed armed revolution might be necessary in the next 5 years. For those of you who think you're virtually alone, if you're critical of government, if you have anti-government sentiments, and you feel isolated and alone because no one wants to talk to you and hear what you have to say, if listening to programs like this seems a little bit odd to you, this This poll is important. It's important for those of us that think we want a restoration of liberty, but we think we're only a tiny minority. This poll indicates that 29% of the American people believe that a shooting revolution may be required to protect our liberties from our own government. Right? 29%. We're not talking about the lunatic fringe right now, ladies and gentlemen. We're not talking about 1 or 2 or 3 or 5%. We're talking about 29%. 29% translates into about 90 million Americans who already believe that government has gone too far and plans to go further down the road into a police state and overt tyranny. Thus, 29% of Americans are aware of, or at least sympathetic to, the sentiment expressed in the Declaration of Independence that when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them, that is to say the people, under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. 29% of the people in this country right now are sympathetic to the ideas that we express on programs like this, and there's hundreds of others. And the implication is that we are not alone. The ideas and concerns shared on this blog and on hundreds of other blogs like it are not only proliferating, but they are far more common than most people imagine. We are not the lunatic fringe. We are mainstream and growing stronger. We are winning. You get that? We are winning the war for the hearts and minds of the American people. The momentum is in our favor. Government is losing. Support for government is waning. I agree. According to this poll, 48% still think that 48% say the idea of a shooting revolution. They reject that. Right? It's not a majority, but it's the largest plurality of the several different expressions of sentiment that were determined in this poll. But here we are at 29% of the American people essentially believe, and I'm not here to advocate, the principal purpose of this program is not to advocate a shooting revolution, but that revolution, that possibility, insofar as it's embraced by other people, it shows that they are sensitive to the concerns that animate this program. There's something we talked with Wendy Wilson just a few moments ago. Government is wrecking the healthcare system in Canada. 24% of the nurses wouldn't recommend going to the hospital where they work. Government got into public education. There was a similar percentage of teachers who would not send their children to public schools. They insisted their children go to private schools. It's evidence that government screws almost everything up that it touches. It is hard to point to a program administered by government that isn't frustrating to the point where it can make you furious trying to deal with these people. It doesn't do what's right for the American people. It does what's right for the government. They're non-responsive. They're uncaring. They don't get it done. I won't say, and that's not true for all government people. I know that. But it's true for a lot of them. And as a result, we have public sentiment that is increasingly turning against government, and government saying, oh, no, we're here to help you. The hell they are. They're not here to help any of us. They're here to help themselves. Those ideas, I've been working on this for 30 years trying to educate myself, and since 1990, I've been openly doing radio programs and publishing magazines and writing a blog and so on. I've got, 23 years now of active government resistance. And in fact, back about 1995, 96, the government recognized me in a publication that was printed by the government printing office, a thick book, had to be 2 or 3 inches thick. And it was on anti-government activists in this country, and they identified me as one of the top 12. They didn't point to me as a bomb thrower or advocate of violence. They were impressed by the fact that I ran one of the biggest legal reform group in the United States. It was in Dallas at the time. I'd run for the Supreme Court of Texas. That's supposed to be illegal. I found a way to get on the ballot. I had 201,000 votes. I'm probably the first non-attorney to get on the ballot for Texas Supreme Court since the Civil War. I have been active. I've been pushing these ideas. And I've pushed them from a time when we were dismissed as lunatic fringe. Right? But here we are, 20 years later, and it turns out that 29% of the American people are now sympathetic to the kinds of ideas that I've advocated for the past 20-some years. And we started out when nobody believed what we had to say, and now we're up to 29%. The momentum is running our way. We are winning the war, again, for the hearts and minds of the American people. The momentum is in our favor. Government is losing. The only thing that really holds us back is our lack of awareness of the true potency and the popularity of the ideas we advocate and espouse, and the true strength of the movement, the liberty movement, independence movement, to reduce government and restore liberty. So long as we think of ourselves as a tiny minority, and we have been, including me, we're going nowhere. But thanks to this poll, we can begin to see, no, wait a second. The country, a big chunk of the country, it's not a majority yet, but it'll get to it. The momentum is pushing us in that direction. We are going to be a majority in favor of liberty and against big, growing, and increasingly tyrannical government. That's who we are going to be. And as soon as we start to see ourselves as a major segment of society rather than a fringe element, we'll start to act like it. We'll stop implicitly apologizing for our seemingly small size, and we will begin to take control. If the poll we're talking about is accurate, the next election in 2014 may turn on the issue of liberty. If so, it's not impossible that a third party devoted to the restoration of liberty could make substantial victories in 2014. And somewhere down the line, maybe not so long from now, there might even be trials for treason in this country. Now, this poll was, if you want to catch up, if you'd like to see the little article I published on this, it's on my blog, again, at adask.wordpress.com. It's right there. It's the number one article as of this moment. I may have another article or two up shortly, but you'll see it. 29% of registered voters believe armed revolution might be necessary in the next few years. It's an article that is published at CNS News, CNSNews.com, and the poll was conducted by Fairleigh Dickinson University. You can learn more. There's a link on my, again, at my blog. There's a link to the original article. You can learn more. You can see it breaks things down in terms of 18% of the Democrats think a shooting revolution might be necessary. 27% of independents think a shooting revolution might be necessary. 44% of Republicans think that a armed or shooting revolution may be necessary. I'm pretty much amazed. I would have thought, 18% Democrats, that doesn't surprise me. A minority of Democrats think a revolution might be necessary. I would have expected the number of independents to be much higher than 27%, and certainly much higher than Republicans. I am much surprised that 44% of the Republicans surveyed believe that the day may be coming when an armed revolution is necessary. 44%. Again, you can get a link to this. You can look for this at cnsnews.com, or you can visit my blog, and there's a link at the bottom to the original article. And again, my blog, Adask, adask.wordpress.com. For me, this is important information and surprising information. I knew that we were gaining. I knew that we were no longer on the fringe the way we had been 20 years ago. But I did not expect that 29% of the American people are now in, they're sympathetic. They wouldn't agree with everything I have to say. I know that. I understand that. I don't expect, but they are sympathetic to the fundamental concerns we have, and the fundamental concerns boil down to you can't trust the government. You know, this program is financial survival. We talk about money. We talk about currency. Talk about gold. Talk about silver. Why do we want the gold? Why do we want the silver? It's because we don't trust the government. That's ultimately what it comes down to. The 29% that are concerned that a shooting revolution might be necessary at some point in the foreseeable future in order to protect our liberty, protected against our government. That 29% is consistent with the fundamental philosophy that animates this program. And it doesn't just apply to me and to Melody and this program and some ideas I might like to espouse. It applies to you. Those of you that are listening to this program, some of you, I'm sure, enjoy watching or listening to the program, but you probably don't want to talk about these ideas too much out there in public because you're afraid you're going to be dismissed as, you know, lunatic fringe. Well, it turns out that 29% of your audience probably agrees with you. They may also be unwilling to speak out in public because they think they're isolated and alone and no one is going to agree with them. But they might be much surprised to learn that 29% of the American people, assuming this poll is accurate, 29% are sympathetic to the same ideas that animate you and perhaps a handful of your closest friends. And if that's true, that 29% is waiting for some of you to stand up and run for public office in the next election. They're waiting to hear what you want to say. Doesn't mean you're going to win, but you might. You might. All right? So, powerful, powerful poll implications are enormous. From my perspective, wonderful. It means that the country is increasingly aware that government is taking some of our liberties away and that a significant portion of the American people are now prepared to fight, if necessary, to regain those liberties. They think it might have to happen in the next several years. Oh, what else do we have? Here's another one. This is part of interesting times. Duke, the university, raises student fees to pay for sex change surgery. This headline might sound as if it's some sort of a spoof, but it is apparently a legitimate article. This is a right-minded campus newspaper called the College Fix, and they say college costs are on the rise, having increased at a rate that outpaces inflation for more than two decades, contributing to record levels of student debt. Nevertheless, Duke University saw fit to raise the cost of its program even more. This week, Campus Reform reports that Duke has raised student fees in order to pay for sex change operations for any student who wants one. You know, I would object. I think I'd have a reasonable objection if a student wanted to be circumcised. I'm changing my faith. I want to be circumcised, and I want somebody else to pay for it. I think circumcision would be objectionable. I don't think the rest of the students should have to pay for one guy's circumcision. Why would they want to pay for a sex change operation? Administrators say they will cover the cost of reassignment surgery up to $50,000. It'll be covered with a cost of it's only a 0.3% increase to overall student fees. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, LGBT advocates on campus immediately celebrated the university's decision. I don't know how many people are going to take advantage of go to Duke and get a free sex. You know, they're going to have a problem with people wanting to get into Duke just to get a free sex change operation. Might cost you $20,000 to go to Duke for a year, but you get a free sex change operation. They're going to have, it's going to make for a very colorful student body before this is all over. We're going to take a break for some more commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Adisk. This is Financial Survival. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk. This is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. If you're looking for some gold or silver coins, give Melody Cedarstrom a call. She should be in the office right now. You can probably catch her, 1-800-375-4188. Talking about the rising tide of public sentiment against big government. We've gone from 3-5% of the people who supported the kinds of ideas that I helped espouse. I was one of the people who helped espouse these ideas 23 years ago. Maybe 3-4% believed them. Now we've got 29%, according to this poll, and that are sympathetic. They won't believe everything I have to say. I understand that. But 29% are sympathetic to our fundamental distrust of government. And here's another article that is consistent with that distrust. It is consistent. It's the sort of thing that the 29% for sure should find interesting. And who's published this article? The Hill. The Hill is a political publication that reports whatever's going on Capitol Hill. And the headline is, read, more funding needed to prevent Obamacare from becoming a train wreck. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says he shares colleagues' concern that the Affordable Care Act could become a train wreck if it's not implemented properly. Reid warned that people will not be able to choose health insurance plans on government health exchanges if federal authorities lack the resources, that means money, to set them up and educate the public. Reid warned that the federal government is not spending enough money to implement the law because of Republican opposition to Obamacare. Now, this is just fascinating to me. First off, the solution to every problem, we're not spending enough money. If we just spend a little more money, then we could solve the problem. Bunch of crap. Just a damn lie. The more money you spend, the more graft that takes place, the more that disappears, the more hustlers and con artists and lobbyists that are attracted to Washington, the more money congressmen, senators, and even presidents can make on the side as tips. But Reid warned the federal government is not spending enough money to implement the law because of Republican opposition to Obamacare. Here's what we have now. We have the menu. Now, this is Reid speaking. He says, we have the menu, but we don't have any way to get to the menu. Well, gee whiz, golly gosh almighty, huh? We passed Obamacare, and we were guaranteed that it would only cost a certain amount of money. And now they say, oh, no, guess what? We need more money. See, the money they talked about, that was just what it cost to execute Obamacare, but it's not what it cost to implement. That's extra. Extra money. We need more money. Government needs more money to advance Obamacare. And if it doesn't, they said the shortage of funding to implement the law has forced President Obama to shift funds from other parts of the law. Right? He's taken money from Obamacare to give to Obamacare. They somehow, the geniuses in Washington, designed a program, and it's going to cost us X number of dollars to execute the program, but they didn't include in their budget proposals, they didn't include enough to actually implement the program. Oh, we got it. It'll cost you only a certain amount of money to get health care. If they can just get some more money to implement the program. This is the sort of story that, for me, only inspires distrust, contempt, and even ridicule for government. It's like they planned a vacation, they were going to drive to California. Only they didn't allocate enough money in their budget for gasoline. What are they thinking of? What were they even thinking of? Reid defended the need for Obamacare, which dramatically expanded federal health care subsidies for the uninsured. According to Reid, I believe that a country of our size, the only superpower left in the world, it's not right that we have 50 to 60 million people with no health insurance. Well, it may be part of the reason we are the only superpower left in the world is that we don't have universal health care, or at least we didn't. That may at least contribute. That may be part of the explanation for our status as superpower. I agree that there's a problem with 50 to 60 million people not having health insurance, but it's more important to look at it and say there's 50 to 60 million people who don't have access to health care. That's not the same thing as saying we don't have health insurance. Why do we need health insurance? We need it because the cost of health care has increased so dramatically that most of us can't afford to be sick and pay for it out of our own pockets. And that's because our medical establishment has grown fat and profitable. I know the doctors aren't making as much as they did back a few years ago. I'm not just blaming the doctors, but the whole thing has turned into another business model. You know, when Wendy Wilson was on earlier in the program and we were talking about the problems with schools, we are in part talking about schools are being run as businesses. They got a business model. They got to have X number of dollars coming in so we can pay the teachers, so we can pay the retirement, so we can fund the school, we can make bigger and better and whatever. And there are some things that really can't be run as business models. I know they have to be to some degree. But when we shift and try to run institutions like healthcare and education, and you try to run it as a business model where it's all about the money, I guarantee the original objective is going to be sacrificed. Whether it's healthcare or education, that objective will be sacrificed. It'll be compromised in order to maintain the business model and generate the profits that are required to keep everybody fat, dumb, and happy. You can't run them. I don't think you can run a school and perhaps even a hospital as a business model. I know you have to. But somewhere along the line, it has to be more like a family. It has to be a situation where, if things are difficult, somebody's got to take a cut and pay. And the fact that you may have made $100,000 in profit this year doesn't mean that a union of educators or nurses or doctors or custodians or anybody could say, oh, there's money there, let's get it, let's get it. It can't just be run on the basis of business. It's got to be run on a basis. I know the business is there. You can't get away from it. I get that. But it's got to also be something like family. There has to be something where some people are prepared to make sacrifices to help other people. Even if it's just volunteering to help as a candy striper. I don't know if they even have that term anymore. They did when I was, teenager, young man. Candy stripers were young women who volunteered, older women, but they volunteered to work as nurses' assistants in the hospitals. Right? And they were working for nothing. They came in and they volunteered, and they might only work 5 or 10 hours a week, and they were doing some of the scut work of cleaning things and emptying bedpans and one thing and another, but a sacrifice was made by private people to provide the health care services in the same sense that a family makes certain sacrifices to make sure that little Sally can get braces for her teeth. It means you got to tighten your belt, and none of these institutions will ever voluntarily tighten their belt. They're constantly looking for a way to expand their belt. And the net result, that mindset, from my perspective, is contrary to providing a good education, good health care, good government. And it's just one more illustration of why people are distrustful of government. And it goes to the heart. 29% think there might be a requirement for shooting revolution in the next several years. They're the people who don't trust government. And they are not irrational. They are not the lunatic fringe. They are a big, big chunk of this country, and they're growing. Reed said, we have a problem. We have a program where health insurance shouldn't go to people who are rich. People who are upper middle class. I believe the middle class and the people below middle class deserve to go to the hospital when they're sick. Of course they do. But they deserve prices they can afford. That's a big problem. We need insurance because you can't afford modern medical care. And one of the reasons for that is because government licenses who gets to practice medicine. Just as they license who gets to practice law. I saw a study back in Texas, 10 years ago anyway, where the Texas State Bar Association calculated that about 70% of the people in Texas could not afford to hire an attorney. Why not? Because the Bar Association limits the number of attorneys that can practice law. Kids come out of law school, they pass the bar exam, and they are introduced into the legal profession. They're allowed to practice law. The result is a restricted supply of lawyers. Something similar happens with doctors, a restricted supply of doctors. The excuse for this is that by licensing and regulating, the government is providing higher quality services, and they are thereby protecting the public. And in theory, that idea has a certain amount of validity. But the truth of the matter is there's no significant enforcement against attorneys, disbarring them if they engage in unethical practices. I know that some are, but for the most part, nobody's really tightening up on attorneys. Nobody's tightening up on judges that are still attorneys. Nobody's really tightening up on educators. Nobody is tightening up on health care and the people involved in it. So is the quality of the people who practice law, provide education, provide health care, is the quality really held to the same level as the costs? I know the costs are up. Is the quality up? Is that necessarily true? And if it is it accessible to everyone? And for sure the answer is healthcare is not accessible to everyone. That's what allegedly motivated Obamacare. An adequate education is not accessible to everyone. And legal services, they're not accessible to the majority of the population. You can't afford to hire a lawyer. Vast majority of you can't. You can, if your insurance company is involved in a lawsuit, they've got enough money to hire the attorneys, and your insurance company will hire an attorney on your behalf, yeah. But you, out of your own pocket, you probably can't do it. Where am I going with this? There are people who understand things about the law. I'm one of them. Right? And I know of hundreds, if not thousands, of others. They don't rise to the level of professional attorneys, for example, but they know how to deal with traffic tickets. They know how to deal with small issues. Why couldn't they practice law and help other people who were more ignorant than them? Would they be the finest legal representatives that you could possibly find? No, probably not, but some of them really are very sharp. Something similar is going on in medicine. Why do we restrict? The reason there's not adequate medical care is in part because we prevent some people from practicing a limited form of medicine. And I know it would open the door to a certain amount of quackery. I get that. But we already have quackery. And in the name of preventing quackery, we're going to have the Obamacare program, which is actually going to restrict the supply of medical services. They have planned from the beginning that they would ration medical care. And that means some people will get medical care and some people won't. And the ones who don't, they're going to tend to die. And we have people in government that sit back and say, well, it's no problem. We still have a program here, and if people die, we are protecting them from quacks. And in the name of preventing quackery, we are going to let people die. There's not an easy answer to any of this, but the government's incredible arrogance and the incredible presumption that only government can solve these problems and only government knows how is only aggravating the situation and making things worse, just as they make education worse, as they make health care worse, as they make legal services worse. They do it by means of government intervention and regulation and restriction of supply. We need freedom. And that's what that poll was that I talked about at the beginning of the second phase. 29% of the people are ready to stand up and fight for liberty. I'm one of them. I hope you are too. I'm Alfred Adisk. I'll be back tomorrow with Melody. She will be here again. And in the meantime, I want to thank all of you for listening. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.